are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, a guy who ran one marathon a week for an entire year thinks you can do that too. Do you really want to buy an Apple Watch? And remember all the outrage about powdered alcohol? Apparently that outrage was completely ignored by the federal regulators. Let's meet the friends. We caught her playing with dolls earlier today. It's Erin Myers.
Well, we all thought Chucky was the creepiest doll. Well, he might have some competition from Barbie.
And in this corner, weighing in at 175 pounds and hailing from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, it's Chris Martin.
Who do you think would win in a fight? Former female boxing champion Leila Ali or current women's ultimate fighting champion Ronda Rousey?
Oh,
good question, huh?
Yeah. I know who my money's on.
We ask the hard-hitting questions here on the Phil Hewlett
yes.
and Friends show.
Yes, we do. Just want to give you a little update on something. Our previous program, which was well listened to by a lot of people who'd never heard this show before, and hopefully some of you are back. And interested to know when Lisa May is going to talk about everything. And we'll give you that information coming up in a bit. But first, this hour of our program is sponsored by NHL Game Center Live. Sign up, watch hockey live or on demand on your favorite device. Never miss a slap shot, check, or save from any team you choose. Get extra camera angles, multi-game views, and watch every out-of-market game live on your device for less. Plus, when you get started with NHL Game Center Live for as little as $24.99, you actually support this show, and we thank you for that. Head over to philhewlettandfriends.com right now. Click on the NHL Game Center Live link. It's at the top right of the website. All right, thanks for tuning in once again, and let's get things rolling with you, Erin. And I guess the question is, who's creepier, huh? Can Barbie get any creepier? What have they done with Barbie now?
Barbie can now talk.
Uh-oh.
Yes, she can speak. And apparently this new Barbie is called Hello Barbie, and it hasn't even hit the shelves, but children's advocacy groups are already, you know, raising a ruckus because they think it can eavesdrop. Barbie can eavesdrop on your children and exploit private conversations for profit because the conversations that Barbie has with the kids are recorded and put on the cloud. So they're saved there and, you know, they're not supposed to be used for anything.
Well, whose cloud account is it? Is it the owner of the Barbie?
It says there's certain authorized people. That's all it says right now.
Over at Mattel.
So parents and, yes, probably people
and
at
parents.
Mattel.
So it's Bluetooth Barbie. Is that what it is? She's Bluetooth.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know.
She's wired.
She is wired.
You don't have to pull a little ring on her
cord,
back.
No,
yeah.
There's no pull cord. She just has conversations with kids and uses words. And they say they wanted to do this because, you know, little girls like to talk to their dolls.
And you know what? I'm looking at her on our show fun page right now. There's a picture of her at the New York International Toy Fair.
How's she look?
She looks like she's put on a little weight in the face. They're making her a little more normal looking, I think.
She does look a little more normal. She's not as fancy, like
yeah.
supermodel-ish.
Or,
now.
Yeah, like angular cheeks and
yeah.
jawbones and all that. That's gone. She looks actually a little younger now and, frankly, a little puffy.
She's getting the injections. That's what they all
do. Is that what's happening?
Probably.
Okay. She's not bloated.
No, Barbie gets Juvederm.
Oh. All right. Well, you could take a look at her there on the show fun page. Interesting, though, that some people would be up in arms about that. But you never know.
Yeah, talking Barbie. I think it's kind of interesting.
And
wait till the
hackers get a hold of it.
Can you imagine what the Barbie will say to
you? You walk into
then?
Your bedroom and say, "This is ISIS. Turn over your Ken dolls for the fight."
Oh, don't give them any ideas.
Oh well, they're already there. Trust
Yikes.
Me. Okay, let's see. What else? Oh, from creepy Barbie to just creepy lady in general, Jodi Arias.
Yes.
What's going on with her now?
Well, apparently she's allowed to have video conferences with fans or people who are interested in her.
She's in jail.
She is in jail.
She's allowed to do that?
She has been. And this weekend, I guess, she had conversations with 27 supporters. And apparently they're not sure if she's going to be able to do this anymore because two 15-year-old girls broke the program's rules and lied about their age to talk to her. And I guess Jodi Arias then told them to steal an older person's ID so they could call back again.
Oh.
So she might be taken off her video conferencing stuff, but I just think it's weird that she's even allowed to do that.
I think it's weird that she has supporters.
They always do.
Do we? Is the word supporter interchangeable with crazy person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah,
there's still thousands of people that follow Manson. She must be like A-list, right? She's A-block celebrity status
in jail.
She must be.
I would say so.
Well, not country club, though.
No, I don't think she gets to hit the links. But although maybe, you never know.
Yeah.
But I think her sheets are cleaned more than once a week.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Different treatment for different prisoners. That's just not fair. You have a Bruce Jenner update.
Yes, another creepy thing. I'm just kidding. No, he's not creepy. He's not. He's going through a lot.
Yes, he is.
Well,
But you know, before we knew that he was going through stuff,
yeah,
people were creeped out a little bit by the way he looked, even before he announced that he was struggling with his sexual identity.
Just because he's had a lot of plastic surgery, I think.
So to be honest, and to qualify your statement there, you didn't mean any harm.
No,
he's
not
just
at all.
Been a creepy-looking guy for a long time.
Before, because he had so much plastic surgery, he's gone a little too far with that. And he used to be such a good-looking, handsome fella.
Of a Wheaties box. We all wanted to look like Bruce Jenner.
But apparently now his variety show or his docuseries is being put on hold, and it's probably because of that car crash in Malibu.
Oh, yeah, because there may be criminal charges brought against
him. Yes, so right now that is on hold, and apparently the Kardashians, though, they signed on for 3 more years, and he's not included in that.
He's not?
No, he did not get a renewal deal for that either. What? So right now, no docuseries.
But it's a reality show. You don't think they stay in touch with Dad?
Not that much, apparently.
Yeah, that means he cannot be on the show. He cannot be filmed on the show, even though he's a family member of theirs.
He might still be able to be on it, but just the renewal deal did not include him.
It's plus that other creepy lady, Kate+8, and her ex-husband. I mean, he's never on the show, but they did a whole retrospect deal where they showed, you know, here's where we started when the kids were babies and the whole thing. And there were several parts of that retrospect where the ex-husband was featured in the thing, and Kate, in her current state, was talking about the guy. So if it's reality, it's part of your life. Bruce Jenner's got to be part of their life, don't you think?
Well, at least the younger girls, for sure. Those are his real daughters. You know, the older ones are stepdaughters, but...
Yeah.
This just sounds like more of a matter of whether or not he gets a paycheck to be a part of their life or shown on the show.
I suppose, yeah, that's the case.
The contract renewed?
Yeah, I don't know. Just that's what happens when you live your life out on TV, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We expect certain things. Okay, now let's get down to what's really important.
Chicks fighting?
Yes.
Cat fight.
Right. Leila Ali versus Ronda Rousey. Now, this isn't a real bout that anybody's promoting, is it?
No, not yet. But I feel if we get enough momentum behind it, maybe we could do our best Don King and get something happening.
Could we start it now? Let's start the fight. Let's get this going.
Let's do it. Let me tell you how the controversy started first.
Okay.
So here's what happened. TMZ, who is also known for their hard-hitting questions, walked up and asked Leila Ali if she could take the current UFC women's, I think she's welterweight or some whatever. She's the baddest woman in Ultimate Fighting Championship.
She's bad.
Ronda Rousey. We're all familiar with her name now. And Leila Ali responded with, "No woman in the world can beat me, period."
Oh.
Besides, she's like the size of my 3-year-old daughter.
Oh,
those are fighting words.
Right. And TMZ, they do what they do best. They make sure to grab that fire and take it over to Rousey. And she responded with, "If Leila wants to take me up on that, I'm here. A size advantage won't help her with my fighting style. Besides, she's retired and has a bunch of kids."
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's paraphrased.
You know what? I think she's right, actually, because...
it's a totally different, kind of fight.
Yeah, I mean,
fight.
Boxers are upright and shoulders, curled in and you're jabbing and swinging and all that sort of thing with your head down a little bit. And Ronda will go right. She'll take her teeth to your ankles if she has to.
Yeah, she has a different fighting style. But just picture you in the size that you are fighting a trained 12-year-old. You know what I mean? Because she's not all that big. And there is something to be said for a size advantage. Plus, let me give you a couple other stats. Ali is arguably the greatest female boxer to ever live. She retired at 24-0 with 21 knockouts. Meanwhile, Ronda Rousey has had 11 fights and... In total, they haven't reached 25 minutes in time. So those are two bad girls if they went at it.
Yeah. But can you imagine? Mm. People would pay more than they're paying Manny Pacquiao and Lee Merriweather. Yeah. No, he's not fighting Lee Merriweather, is he? Floyd Mayweather.
Junior.
Yeah. Our production assistant, Nick Wright, doesn't know who Lee Merriweather is. It was a joke. It was a joke, son.
Yeah.
She's an actress from the 60s and 70s.
Okay. Still don't know.
Yeah, all I don't either.
Yeah. Okay, great. Now, all right. I'm the old guy on the show, by the way. Okay, coming up next, so much more on the program to tell you about, including we do have the specific information as to when Lisa May is going to spill all the Kevin and Beans on the Allison Rosen Is Your Best Friend podcast, which we are happy to promote. We're all in one happy podcast family here, and we promote each other. So that's coming up next and a whole lot more right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Our website is the name of the show with a .com after it. Not all that difficult to figure out. And you'll want to go to the links page, as we have an important link there for you if you're following Lisa May and when exactly she will talk at length after she's collected all her thoughts and decided what it is that she wants to say about her departure from her longtime gig on Los Angeles radio station KROQ on the morning show Kevin and Bean. She will be a guest of Allison Rosen on Allison's podcast, Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend. They're going to record the podcast next week, a week from today, next Thursday. And it will air and be available for you via podcast on Monday, March 23rd. And we have a link to Allison Rosen's podcast on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. And we'll tweet about it later as well. And hey, Allison, you can thank me later.
Podcasting is awesome.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we all have a voice. Some of our voices are better than others.
Free access for the most part, too.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine that gal that won the hand in potential marriage on The Bachelor? If she had a podcast, is her voice worth listening to?
I have a feeling she'd get something like 5 million listeners right out of the gate, and then they'd slowly just trickle off.
I think so. You know what? There was, how long ago was it we were talking about this guy that invented powdered alcohol? And he thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then all the parents and the educators and the health advocates went absolutely nuts. Their heads exploded. And they said, no, kids are going to start snorting this. They're going to put it in their juicy juice when they're at school, shake it up. And you won't even know when the kids are powering down the how many proof alcohol in that powder?
As much as any the alcohol that it relates to would be. So I think vodka's 80 proof, which is 40%, something like that.
Yes.
Rum, it has a rum, a tequila, so
right.
Whatever the proof is of that
so
alcohol.
So kids walking around with juice boxes with alcohol in it. And they're so you see the kids shaking their juice box, you know what's going on, right?
Yikes.
It's going to be tough to get it into a Capri Sun, but they'll find a way.
So anyway, regulators heard all the outrage and all of that, and they did the prudent thing, and they talked to the guy that came up with this, and they denied his patent and did not approve this for a public consumption. Isn't that right, Chris?
They did not. No, actually, it's been approved. This product is going to hit the shelves. And you were asking how long ago we were talking about this. It seems like months ago, maybe even as much as a year ago when this product first came out and received all this controversy. But yeah, the Federal Treasury Department, which apparently helps run like alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Yes.
Have approved alcohol to be
you're
sold legally
Yikes.
In stores.
And
well,
then, is it meant to be mixed in? That's what you're supposed to do with it? You drop it in whatever juice and shake it up?
Yeah, you put it in water. Really, you mix it straight with water, and it would turn water into vodka or rum or tequila, one of the many brands that they offer. And then they do have some flavored ones, too. They have ones that instantly taste like margarita or rum chata or any of those other drinks that people enjoy.
What's a rum chata?
I don't know.
I think I just made that up.
Did you? Is it like rum poured over an enchilada?
I think so. Which, now that I think about it, sounds delicious.
Does it?
Wow. Here's how they're marketing it. They're saying it's for people that are on the go and love the outdoors, which makes sense because then you don't have to carry around a bottle. You just carry around this packet of powder.
Yeah.
It comes in all kinds of different boozes. We talked about that. And it's only 80 calories a bag.
Wow. What if you just want to like drink the, like not even pour it anything? Can you just kind of like shake it in your mouth and do
you
it that
can,
way?
You can, but it's very, very foul tasting according to the people that have tried the product.
And you'll burn your nasal passages right out if you try to snort it.
Oh, they said it's vile if you try it that way.
But
it's,
you know kids are
going like
to do it. Kids love snorting stuff.
It'll become
stuff.
The thing that you do, you like the challenge, the, like that cinnamon challenge.
Look, until their eyes start bleeding and their nose
If you can't understand why kids are huffing stuff out of your your cleaning product closet at home, your cabinet, they're inhaling and snorting whatever they could find. Because of, you know, sure, it hurts for a moment, but then whatever after effect they get, it's easier than talking the guy behind the counter at the liquor store to sell you a fifth of vodka, right?
Sure, yeah. They get whatever they can get their hands on. And, I mean, that's some of the other controversies are that they can get, not just kids, but anybody can get their hands on extreme quantities of this stuff. It's easy to spike somebody else's drink if you wanted to step it up a notch, and you can sneak it into events quite easily.
Step it up a notch.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Step someone else's drink up a notch.
Oh, I see. Right? I thought you were talking about the process in which one would like to get somebody to go up to his room.
Well, that's exactly what spiking a drink is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, hey, how's that? What's that over there on the wall? And then they turn their head, get a little powder in there. I'm not advocating it. I'm saying that's what the what the opposers are saying.
Is there any chance once this becomes marketed that they will look for celebrity endorsements? Because I think Bill Cosby can use one
probably
right about now.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, I think they already have Paris Hilton signed up.
Oh, gosh. Hey, Esquire and Cosmopolitan, two fine magazines that I got to remember to re-up my subscription to both of those. Anyway, they just released the results of a new sex survey, but it's less of a fun survey and more of a let's be grown-ups and talk about sex and gender issues kind of thing. And here are the 10 most interesting stats from the surveys. One, if a male boss tells a female employee her haircut makes her look pretty, is it sexual harassment? They asked this question, and the survey results said only 1% of women said yes versus 3% men. Which just tells me that men aren't absolutely clear on what kind of compliments they could say in the workplace.
They're afraid.
Yes. But those are very small numbers, though. 1% of women said yes. If the boss says your haircut's pretty, it's sexual harassment.
That's just a compliment, I feel like.
And so that 1%, to me, tells me that whoever is doing the hiring over that place of business isn't really doing a good enough job asking the right questions when they're doing the interviews. Because that's, I don't know, that's trouble waiting to happen. Right?
What
somebody sitting at their desk waiting to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And 1%, the fact the number is 1% proves it.
Yeah.
Well, those are the ones with bad haircuts, though.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's all it is. They're jealous about the good haircuts?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The bad haircuts.
If a female boss says a male employee's haircut makes him handsome, that is, 1% of women and 2% of men say that's sexual harassment. So the big takeaway is it's probably still socially acceptable to compliment someone's haircut.
Yeah. Hair seems pretty innocent.
Yeah. Do you feel relieved now? 41% of women, 26% of men have seen a stranger flash them. 41% of women have been flashed by a stranger?
I have been.
Yeah.
Really?
You have too.
Uh-huh. There was actually a serial flasher in my neighborhood when I was a kid, and they drove down the street and flashed my sisters and I, and we all ran into our parents' house screaming.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, we had
to call the police.
Here's the thing with the survey, though, and it's completely different from what you're talking about. The survey did not differentiate between creepy old guys in trench coats and or a girl going wild at Mardi Gras.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Girls gone wild. 1% of women, 2% of men say it's not okay for men to laugh at rape jokes.
That's a low number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is okay for women to laugh at rape jokes. 1% of women, 2% of men say not okay for men to laugh, but it is okay for women to laugh.
It's not okay for men to laugh at them while a woman's around.
See, there you go.
All in the context.
In the man cave.
Yep.
Who should initiate things when a couple has sex? 6% of women and 2% of men say the man. 2% of women, 9% of men say the woman. And 93% of women and 88% of men say, who cares? As long as it's initiated.
Yeah. As long as it happens.
Yeah. Most people who have sent a naked selfie. Who are those people? Were in a relationship with the person they sent it to, but 26% of men and 12% of women have sent one to someone they just had a crush on.
That just seems not like a good idea to me.
It's a little forward, isn't it?
And it's going to blow up in your face down the road.
Yes, it sure is.
What are you doing tonight? Check this out.
Yeah. Blackmail.
Right.
For sure.
When your photo starts showing up on YouPorn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, then, 7% of men and 1% of women have forwarded a naked selfie someone sent to them. So there you go. So that person who had a crush on you, who sent the naked selfie.
They're sharing with all their friends.
They're going to show everybody.
Yep.
All right, question. Are you a feminist? Only 51% of women and 29% of men say yes. And I have something related to that coming up in a little bit. Single men are more likely to experience sexual dry spells than single women. 32% of guys had zero sexual partners last year versus just 19% of women. What's that look on your face?
No, it just seems like I think it is probably easier for girls to not have that problem.
And finally, if you found out the person you were dating was a registered sex offender, would you give them a chance to explain or just dump them outright? 52% of women, 67% of men would actually hear them out.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay?
Well, there's different things that people get put on that list for, I've learned.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yes.
True. Hey, when you look at your kid, do you wonder, could he or she be the next Bill Gates? One company wants to make sure 1 million kids get a shot at something like that. And our tech guy will tell you all about it and more next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to it. Thank you. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris are here. And it seems like a lot of stuff is happening in tech, and more or less anytime the guys that over there who run Apple Computer have their whole Macworld or whatever it is that they stand up on stage and they talk about all the great stuff that they've invented and that they're going to sell to us someday, and we're going to love it whether we love it or not. And so they made a couple of announcements recently, and we want to find out about those as well as some. I don't know about you, but have you ever climbed a tall mountain? A real tall one? And you wonder about those guys that try to climb Mount Everest? We're going to make it possible so you can just do that. And we're going to get some help from our tech guy. He's the head of mobile at Apogee. And hello, Jeremy Antacuni.
Hey, friends. How are you?
Doing good. Very well. Even better that you're here now. And did you get your Apple Watch, Jeremy?
You know, I do not have an Apple Watch yet, although beginning of April, around the 10th, you'll be able to actually pre-order them and check them out in Apple stores. So if you're interested in checking one out, that's the time to be able to do it. Obviously, Apple took to the stage on Monday and made some announcements about some upcoming products. The Apple Watch was, of course, what everybody expected, but I think a different product stole the show, and
What's that?
Was the MacBook. Did you guys get a chance to see those yet?
Well, no, not yet. There are three MacBooks in my household. All three of my daughters have MacBooks, and so
Your daughters are going to want a new one.
Oh, you think so?
They just came out with an incredibly sexy-looking little computer. So this is just called the MacBook. It's going to be their entry-level computer. It comes in silver, space gray, and gold, just like the iPhones do. It is 13 millimeters thin, so even the MacBook Air seems thick to this thing.
Hmm.
It's got a Retina display, and it's $1,300. So
wow.
They really, really created an incredible computer for.
So this is the Chromebook killer, isn't it?
You know, it is. And obviously, they're significantly more expensive than a Chromebook. But this is just really beautiful. You got to check them out.
Yeah. All right. And that display is something else. Because
the
Chromebook, if you set it down and sit on the corner, it's done. You got to get a new screen. That's already happened to me twice.
Oh wow! Yeah, so these are made out of aluminum. They've got a unibody construction. They're pretty hefty. I've got they've hit the floor several times and sat on them numerous times.
No problem.
So, anyways, everybody was looking forward to this Apple Watch announcement, right? So we knew that the entry level price was going to be $349. Mm-hmm. We didn't know how expensive they were going to get.
Yeah.
Can you believe that they're selling a $17,000 Apple
That's
Watch?
Crazy.
Well, it's jewel encrusted, is it not?
No. This is just their 18-karat, you know, quote-unquote gold, which I'm calling quote-unquote gold because a patent was discovered that showed that they are using as little gold as possible while still maintaining it as 18-karat gold. So it's actually an alloy mix of ceramic and gold, but because gold is so heavy and the measurement is based on the weight, they're able to actually fill up the volume with a lot of ceramic to actually, you know, decrease the amount of gold they have to use.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so it makes it harder and more durable, but you know, it's certainly not, you know, a gold collector's piece by any means like you would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm paying $17,000 for ceramic.
No kidding. And did you see that you can have a gold buckle that comes with it? That is a price difference of $7,000 just for the buckle.
Oh, wow.
So
an Apple buckle.
Equivalent of 20 of the base watch. So
yeah.
I'm a little surprised by some of that. They did show some use cases. Of course, health and fitness is one of them. Notifications from your apps and your phone and so forth, using it to purchase items with Apple Pay. But somehow it just feels like a solution looking for a problem almost. It seems maybe once they're, you know, more ubiquitous and I've had a chance to use them and so forth, it'll you know, find its place. But for me right now, it just seems like I use my phone to do a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's right.
Well,
there are two things
going on here. I mean, technology has to continue to march on, and they have to test out this model for sure. And maybe it's ahead of its time, and we won't really embrace this for another 5 or 10 years. But the other thing that's going on, Jeremy, is that I think that $17,000 versus plus the buckle add-on there. Concept, is that not an acknowledgement from Apple that all along what they've been doing is taking advantage of the cachet of the brand Apple and iPad and iPhone and all this sort of thing, and just saying, okay, fine, if they love us no matter what, here's the ultimate test. Buy this $17,000 watch.
I want the buckle just because I feel like it'll look good next to my Professional Bull Riding Association gold buckle.
Yeah, right.
That I own.
There you go.
Those would look fabulous together.
Yeah, all right. Now, on to another topic here. Enough about Apple. They're getting plenty of free advertising off of these announcements. The BBC wants to hatch the next generation of hackers, don't they?
This was kind of cool. So essentially, the United Kingdom is facing a shortage of skilled programmers and coders. And so they've come up with a novel way to get kids more interested in them. Have you guys heard of like an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi? It's a small microcomputer that allows you to, you know, interact with and have sensors and other things. They're a lot of fun to play with, but they have kind of a steep learning curve. And if you've never used any sort of programming languages, they can be a little daunting. Mm. So the BBC's come up with a plan to give pretty much every kid in the sixth grade in the UK a small device called a microbit. It's a single board computer, allows you to learn programming in a really easy and accessible way. And of course, they're hoping that this will then spark their interest to continue in exploring other hardware and other software and programming and so forth.
Yeah. Wow. That is a great idea. And but this is subsidized by the government as opposed to private.
Right. So this is in the UK. And, you know, I think that if we see more and more of these types of initiatives that, you know, we can get more kids, you know, excited and doing cool stuff.
I think great opportunities. For sure. And the other way to look at it is that this is our future army, because the future wars will be fought with computers, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No kidding about that.
I am so going to climb Mount Everest from a comfy chair, Jeremy.
You should.
From a chair. Tell us how that's possible.
Everybody's heard of Google Street View, and I think that they should actually just get rid of the street and just call it Google View, because there's so many more places that they've added. They've got these camera rigs on the backs of bicycles, on the backs of mountaineers and hikers and so forth, just going everywhere on the planet so that you can sit in front of your computer and explore these areas, you know, just like you could with any of the other Street View streets that they've captured. They've got the Grand Canyon. They've got the Colosseum in Rome. They've got Stonehenge, White House, and now they've added Nepal. And a mountaineer spent 10 days climbing through the mountains, going up Mount Everest, so that you can actually see what it's like firsthand or very close to it using the Google Street View. So I thought that was a pretty cool thing for you to be able to check out.
That is awesome. And then what you should do is cut off some of the oxygen supply in your house and get lightheaded while you're doing this. And
really feel it?
Yeah.
For the full effect.
Breathe into a paper bag while you're looking at these images. And, yeah. There you go. go. Well, how exciting. Jeremy, always great to talk with you. You bring us the best stuff on the planet to talk about when it's when it comes to tech. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you then.
All right. Now, talking about climbing mountains and achieving great things, you hear people all the time say you can accomplish anything you set your mind to. Well, that's easily said, right? But how do you unleash your inner champion? You'll hear from an amazing guy who did something nobody, perhaps even himself, thought was possible, and he just might inspire you to get off the couch and achieve something great, and he's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Advertise with Phil Hewlett and Friends. You can sponsor the show. You can just have a little mention on the program. You could do so many things. Hey, why not... Why not turn the studio? We could say broadcasting from the insert your company name here, studios. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. How about that? Think of the cachet that you would add to your product or service. You go to the Advertise With Us page over at philhewlettandfriends.com and fill out the form, and we will get back in contact with you. Or there's a way for you to advertise right away for as little as $5. You've got more than that in your sock. What are you doing putting money in your sock, after all? All right. Some incredible things happen in life because there are incredible people. And a lot of these incredible people believe that we're all capable of being just as incredible as they are. And I tell you, I think they're nuts. But the truth is, you can achieve incredible things if you set your mind to it. It's just, how do you flip that switch on? And the people who I previously called nuts are out there. They're nuts in a good way. They figured out that they could tap into the crazy achieving soul that we all have and go out there and do something. And one example is a guy who's run a ton of marathons, Ironman races, all that. He's an athlete. He's motivational. He's inspirational. He speaks. He writes articles and books. He's got a book called Running for Their Lives. Welcome to Life Coach Carl Gruber. Hi, Carl.
Hey, that's quite an introduction. Thank you, Phil. I really appreciate it.
Well, you are crazy, aren't you? You what, right?
Well, like you said, crazy in a good way, though.
Yeah.
You know, I ran all those marathons in 1 year to help raise money and awareness.
Oh, right.
Give me a research.
Well, let's tell people about that because we haven't really let them in on that. If people don't know your name immediately, this should help. Tell us what you did to raise money and awareness for leukemia research.
Well, you know, it was a few years ago. I actually came out and ran the Los Angeles Marathon as part of my year. In 1996-97, I became the ninth guy in the world to run 52 marathons in 52 weeks. And, yeah, absolutely crazy. And I say ignorance was bliss because I had no idea what I was in for. But it was an amazing year, and I did it with the focus of raising money and awareness through leukemia research through my marathons.
Wow.
So it was a number of years ago, but you're absolutely right, Phil. You know, I really believe in my motto that ordinary people can accomplish extraordinary things. And now as a practicing life coach, I like to say people, you know, you can unleash that inner champion. All you got to do is put the effort out there and believe.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. And immediately I think, wow, a marathon a week for 52 weeks, and Chris, you're kind of an athletic guy. I mean, doesn't that sound like it would hurt?
Yeah. How was that on your body, Carl? I mean, after 52 weeks of running marathons, did you have to take a half a bottle of Advil every day? Or
Great question, but beer and pizza got me through it.
That's right. How you train for
See,
a marathon.
Now you've softened the fear of this whole thing. If I can be a top-class athlete and have a bunch of beer and pizza, then I'm all in.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is you got to burn off those calories from the beer and pizza. But, you know, I was pretty beat up. I had made up my mind in advance that injury and illness were not an option. And, you know, there were times when I was doing a drive, a 16-hour drive cross country by myself, and you know, I was achy and sore and wondering, why am I out here doing it? And then I'd remember why, and you know, all of a sudden I was granted a great body to recover, and I'd get out there again. And even the L.A., what was it? I'm looking here in my book. The L.A. Daily News had a headline when I was there, said, "Man with full deck trying 52 marathons."
Wow. And that's cool. See, that's the thing I was wondering about. I don't know. Oh, by the way, let me just say that the book has a longer title. It's called Running for Their Lives, and then it's followed by the words, "The Story of How One Man Ran 52 Marathons in 52 Weeks to Help Cure Leukemia." The book's available in the store for purchase at philhewlettandfriends.com. But take us through the mental process you went through prior to taking this on, and then those moments that you alluded to when you thought you were maybe going to just throw in the towel.
Well, you know, I really still am, but I've always considered myself what I call a disciple of positive possibility power thinking. And so mentally, I had prepared myself for years by being in that mode of reading the Norman Vincent Peales of the world and the Deepak Chopras and Wayne Dyers, et cetera. And then you have to train your body. You know? And so I would run a 20-mile run every weekend for months and months before I started out there. So it wasn't like I just threw myself in there unsuspecting. Granted, I had never run 52 marathons in a year, but I was ready. And you know, it's just like anything, Phil, that if you just say, well, I'm going to do this, but you don't put the inspired action in along with your faith and your belief, then it's really probably not going to be successful.
Well, where do you get that inspired action? Because, sure, I mean, many of us are good for a couple of days. We want to try to get to 21 days. From what I understand, if you do the same thing for that many days, then you're more likely to stick with it for a while. But how do you get to that point? I mean, see you are wired for this, and you said you're blessed with the body. You've got the genetic makeup to where you can get out there and take the punishment and recover in a hurry. Not everybody's set up like you are.
Well, and this is absolutely true, and this is why I tell people who want to accomplish some passion or goal, it doesn't have to be marathons. It could be knitting a quilt to honor aid patients. It could be skydiving on your bucket list. You know, it find what your passion is, and once you tap into that champion within you, that your true passion, your purpose of being here on this planet, then that's where you find that drive, that just getting out there, taking that inspired action. So it has to be something that you really believe that you can do, and then, boy, you got to have a lot of faith and belief. And it helps when there's a few people out there that help you along the way, too, and I certainly had that. And many people in L.A. were backers of me, and I was so appreciating of that.
Right. You need supporters emotionally and physically, and in many cases you need the money to make it happen, but that's not always the case. On a different topic, but related, I suspect, tell us, what is a law of attraction life coach?
Well, thanks for asking that. You know, the law of attraction, ever since the movie and the book The Secret came out just a few years ago, has become not a secret anymore. And the basic philosophy behind that is like attracts like. So what we think upon and dwell upon consistently, and it's totally objective whether it's something you want or you don't want, but if your thoughts and your energy keep dwelling there, then the universe, the law of attraction, sends more of it to you. It's kind of like people say, oh, man, everybody at school is getting the flu. I don't want to get the flu. Everybody's got it. And all the universe here is flu, 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 and it just sends more to you. So it works the positive way, too. So in my case, oh, boy, I really can do these 52 marathons in a year to make a difference in a world with leukemia. And I dwelled on that for months and months and months. And boy, I learned about a lot about the law of attraction that year.
Yeah, so I'll bet.
And negative way.
And you've got a little certificate in a frame in the wall in your on the wall in your office. You're a certified law of attraction life coach. I didn't know they did that, but just the same, you know what you're talking about when this it comes to this. And you not only talk the talk, you walk the talk, and walk the walk.
I appreciate it. I knew I liked you.
Oh well, see. I'm going to look into more of what you're talking about, and maybe I can get up off my my sorry butt and get out there and do something. I've done it in the past, but then I hit these bumps, and you get into the valleys, and you got to climb out again.
Well, and that's true, but see, you at least understand that you can do that. And, you know, Phil, I'm just going to interject here real quick. I had a 20-year career as a radio disc jockey, so it's kind of fun being back on the radio with somebody. But I also want to tell you that right there in Los Angeles, you're a Santa Monica native. You have your own 52 marathons and 52-week person, Julie Weiss, a.k.a. the marathon goddess, and she accomplished it just a couple years ago.
Yeah, Aaron knows her.
I actually know her, yeah. She's from pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, she's actually running the L.A. Marathon Sunday. I had met Julie a couple years ago in the middle of her. I was out in L.A., and we had dinner right there at Lowe's in Santa Monica, and I'm so excited for her, and I hope you can get her on your show because she is an amazing woman.
Well, that's quite a recommendation, and we'll look into it, and it's such a thrill to talk with you. And again, his name is Carl Gruber, and we have links to his website. Look for his name on our links page, and also look for his store, his book, that is, in our store at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. It's Running for Their Lives. Again, life coach Carl Gruber. How about that? Something else. Miss Weiss was her name. She's got pancreatic cancer, and she's running the marathon.
No, her dad died from it.
Oh.
And so she ran 52 marathons in 52 weeks to raise money for pancreatic cancer research.
How about that?
Do we know what constitutes a marathon? Is it 5K? Officially makes it a marathon?
No, it's 26.2
miles.
Oh, okay. 26.2 miles.
Yes.
Look at you guys.
Yeah.
That's why I ask you guys. I know you guys are smart like that.
It's got to be, because it goes back to that guy in marathon back in the day. And
yes.
He just, they said, here, take this letter to my girlfriend. No, it was to the general or whatever. And he said, okay. And he ran for 26.2 miles. And he didn't stop till he got the letter there. Because they were going to kill him if he didn't deliver it.
Well, you're going to run faster that way.
I think so.
That'll keep you going.
It will, and so will the next hour of this program, because we're done with the first hour now. That went by in a hurry. And a bunch of stories, including, admit it, even though you know how it ends, you can't wait to see the new Cinderella movie. And elaborate prom date proposals gone bad. And the passenger jet of the future has just been unveiled. Chris will tell you all about that. Those stories and so much more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, Some of the world's best waves have surfers chomping at the bit to paddle out, but there's something underwater waiting to chomp on their legs. Can the DMV just say enough is enough to serial driving test fails? And we'll introduce you to the Poopa-trator. The friends are here, Aaron Myers and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, we will. We will do that.
I like those headlines. Those are pretty good.
All right. Good. We try our best to deliver on good headlines stories to follow up. Here's one we did not headline, but is it time that we got smartphones for our dogs?
It might be. Maybe not a phone per se, but there are a lot of tracking products now that you can use for your dogs. One's a GPS tracker that you can put on your hound if they like to roam around. The other one is a fitness tracker, which will tell you like how much activity your dog is getting every day.
So it'll count its steps?
Steps. It'll tell you if your dog is overweight and needs more exercise. It'll be like, hey, your dog's fat.
Heart rate, all that kind of stuff,
heart
right?
rate, things like that. There's health monitoring, which is that's even more. It takes heart rate, calories burned, respiratory rate. And then I like this one because you can now find out what trouble your dog is getting into when you're not home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collar that is a video camera, so you have the dog's point of view.
Yeah.
And you can just check in anytime to see what they're up to. And I know they're getting into trouble.
Yeah.
I can guarantee it.
That's better than a drone camera.
Mm-hmm.
That get the dog cam going.
Uh-huh. It's
better than the Mount Kilimanjaro cam.
Yes, exactly. Or Mount Everest or whatever it is.
Either one.
You know what? It would be nice because, you know, some dogs, they're not real aware. It seems like certain types of dogs, they're real aware. They know there's a cat within three blocks, and they could run directly to where that cat is and chase it up a tree. Other dogs could be like 50 paces away from a cat and can't tell it's there or notice it and start yapping away. I'm talking about a lot of small dogs until they get close enough to the cat and realize it's twice its size, and then they turn tail and they run. Is there some kind of GPS device that could help dogs out in that respect? Say, okay, cat 50 paces.
That has not yet been invented, so you might be onto something there.
Okay.
Yeah, you can patent that one.
Always coming up with the ideas on the program. Always happy to help. Dogs can thank me later, too.
All of these monitoring devices just to remind us of the things we're not accomplishing or that our dogs aren't doing. You know, most of the time it's like, oh, my dog's overweight. I'm glad this thing can tell me that.
Yeah, lazy dog owner. Get out and walk.
There are a lot of awkward moments in life that we all experience, and I think we've all experienced this, where you walk into the grocery store and the Girl Scout are there with their cardboard table and somebody's mom and a bunch of cookies, and you're thinking, yeah, you know what? I should support the Girl Scouts because I really want to chow down some yummy cookies, too.
And because they're so cute, you know, they guilt you right into it.
But you do very often say no, and you walk right in, and sometimes you don't even make eye contact. It's one of those awkward moments, right? And then you walk out, and you're thinking, okay, I'm in a hurry. I got to get this pasta back home because the pot's already boiling or whatever it is that you got to get home in a hurry. And you, again, it's awkward, and you feel like a baddie. But now it's even more convenient and less awkward, I think, because of an advancement that some Girl Scouts have come up with, Aaron. Tell us about that.
Yes, in Vermont and New Hampshire, Girl Scouts are setting up drive-thrus in shopping malls and parking lots. And so you just drive up with your car, roll down the window, say, hey, I want a box of Thin Mints. They'll give it to you, and then you take off.
That's genius.
So that way, if you don't want to stop, you just drive on by without even having to look at the Girl Scouts.
That's right.
Yes.
Nothing awkward about that.
No.
But fully convenient.
Very convenient. I kind of like it.
You can just have your driver's side window roll down, and they'll just pitch it right into the vehicle.
Yeah.
You literally don't have to stop. Just
right.
go by at a slow
Throw the money
roll.
Out, and they toss in the cookies.
Just make sure they have a merit badge for pitching cookies.
Yes.
Chucking. Cookie chucking.
Cute.
Yeah. All right. Now, I mentioned, remember, you were referencing the good headlines that we had at the top of this hour.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them involved this guy, the Poopa-trator. At least that's what he's being called. And why is that, Aaron?
Well, apparently there's this guy in Akron, Ohio, that is a serial Poopa-trator. That's what they're calling him. Since 2002, there have been 19 reports of feces appearing on hoods and handles of residents' cars. So people very fed up. It was happening to one guy. He said his daughter's car six times. So he decided to set up a camera for 2 weeks, and they finally caught him on Tuesday, with his pants down over the hood of her car, getting his photo taken. And
Good.
So they've released the photo, and now they're trying to find out who this guy is who's going and, you know, disgusting up people's cars.
Who's going to jail for a very long time, I'm assuming?
Hoping? Where does that come from, the idea to do that? It's very disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, you're just a, he's a guy that just poops on people's cars.
Yes. Sometimes he, like, smears it around, too. Like, he gets artistic.
Jeez.
Yeah. Very gross.
And you said put it under the handle?
Yes.
That's devious because you can't see under the handle.
I've only done that with toothpaste.
You go to open the car.
Yeah. Very disgusting.
Not cool, man. No. Not cool.
And it's been going on for a while, so they're hoping that this picture now will help them catch him. And he does look, we have the picture up, I think, on the website, and he does look like he got caught.
Oh, God.
He's got his pants down. Yes. He's on the hood of the car. And
yes.
And he's doing that thing where he's looking over at the camera slack-jawed. Is that
kind
what it
of.
Is?
It kind of looks like he realized,
his eyes are glimmering
from crap.
The flash.
No, I'm just kidding.
Is that what he looks like? Yeah. I don't know. Have we as a society become far too accepting and compassionate and empathetic about people of all mental capacities? And I don't want to be insensitive to people.
Yeah.
We should be sensitive about, but just the same, there are some loony people walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, you know, if you looked at somebody funny, they'd lock you up in the funny farm. Now, I'm not saying that we go back to that extreme, but there might be a happy medium in here where we stop and say, hey, as a society or as a human race, we're doomed if we keep mainstreaming our wackiest people.
Yeah, this guy.
And letting them reproduce, and they have wacky kids.
Yeah, this guy doesn't look that weird either. That's, I mean, the photo's weird,
but he
doesn't
look
that strange.
But he poops on cars.
It might be some strange fetish.
And we know that he poops on cars. Isn't that enough
yes.
to say, okay, that's it, we're done?
I can't imagine that this guy doesn't get the book thrown at him for whatever the maximum penalty someone can receive for this disturbing behavior.
Do you think there,
all of it?
You think there's a law on the book that speaks specifically to this crime? I wonder.
Yes, it's got like indecent exposure or public displays of terrible, you know, disgusting acts.
Assault by defecation.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. I think if he gets caught, they should, part of his punishment should be he has to wear diapers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we're talking. All right. Well, that's the poopetrator. And something else that stinks is the fact that there's going to be another edition of a movie that will make some parents run screaming. Isn't that right, Chris?
Why does that stink?
Well, because I don't know.
Nice.
I was going to open up with I had a bit where I was going to go, do you want to watch a movie? You know,
instead of make a snowman?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you haven't seen Frozen yet, but you've alluded to the fact that, Frozen is coming out with a Frozen 2 Disney announced today.
Well, and what's the parenthetical description of that? Frozen 2, still cold?
Frozen 2, yeah, it's still cold. And
where do they go with the second one, really?
Wherever. It doesn't matter. They'll get at least half, maybe three quarters of the audience right out of the gate just to check it out.
Yeah.
We'll see where they go with the storyline. But it does sound like most of the original cast will be returning to it, which I'm sure that the fans of the movie are excited about that.
Were they going to sing Let It Go some more? Are they going to come up with a new song?
Maybe Let It Snow instead.
They'll just switch up one or two words.
Yeah. Let It Snow.
Well, that's going to be an instant hit because the kids can't get enough of Frozen, can they?
They love it. They wore that movie and all the songs to the movie out until their parents were ready to pull their hair out.
I think if Idina Menzel got into like the main street of any particular town, and she doesn't even need a flute to do this. If she just started singing and walking down the main street, all the kids would follow. She could keep walking all the way to a cliff, and they would follow her over the cliff.
Like
isn't that right?
Piper, yeah.
Yes. That's what this has become. Our kids have become mesmerized by this movie.
Mind control through a Disney film.
Yes. Ooh.
Interestingly enough, they're like timing this announcement of Frozen 2 around the new Cinderella movie, right? Like they're thinking that might be a similar audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure Manny will discuss
later. By the way, Manny, the movie guy, is coming up in about 15 minutes on the program at the bottom of this hour. And we'll hear from him because he's seen Cinderella.
He has. Oh.
Lucky guy.
Yes. He's seen her feet, as a matter of fact.
And?
I think he's actually touched them.
That's okay. That's weird now.
Is it? Okay.
She's got some nice dogs down there, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Glass slippers.
All right. Hey, remember that the old story? I don't know if it was true. I think it was true. Is it just mythology about Elvis that he got upset one day and he took out a gun and started shooting at his TV? That actually happened, didn't it? It did happen.
Sometimes TV makes you mad.
Okay. We're going to tell you next about a mom who went all Elvis on her kids. Next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We do encourage you to go look at the show fun page. There's all sorts of things. Of course, the photo of the poopetrator is there. The Hello Barbie is there for you to take a look at, and you can click on her and read more about the story. And there are other items that we're about to tell you about. But you won't see this unless you look at the newspaper and see the lady's mugshot, Chris. What happened with this lady and her kids at home there? They're watching TV, right?
The kids are watching television. This lady has three children, 15, 11, and 6, respectively. This 40-year-old mother from Illinois saw her kids watching a music video by Primus on their 50-inch flat screen. Sure, everybody.
Kids are watching Prime. Kids don't even know who Primus is.
They still do music videos on TV?
Was it, what was the song? Johnny was a race car driver, or was it the other, what was the lady's name?
Oh,
with the big brown beaver.
Yeah, that's Betty. Whoa, no, that's
not,
that's
Black
one.
Betty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, they've got that
Winona.
Song.
Winona.
Winona's.
Winona.
Yeah, that's right. And anyway, Primus, a funny group, good musicians, but not for everybody.
So she sees this video, walks into the living room, and apparently she didn't appreciate Primus or their sense of humor. She grabbed her .22 rifle and just unloaded several rounds into the box right in front of her kids.
Oh.
Wow.
Ruined her 50-inch
flat screen. Nice big flat screen, a 50-incher, huh?
That
it's not nice anymore.
Yeah, wow.
One of her kids said to the police, she didn't even say anything. She just walked up to the TV and started shooting.
And then lesson learned.
Right, yes, don't watch Primus in front of mom anymore. Actually, this is not the first time officers have been called to the house. They've been there before for child custody issues, also domestic battery.
Yeah.
The children have been picked up by social services.
Oh, no. See, that's what happens when your mom's just a badass, right?
Yeah, wow. Nobody hurt, though. Nobody
that's
injured,
good.
Except
because
for the Panasonic.
Yeah, that could have been dangerous. I mean, ricochet and glass breaking.
Yeah, imagine the potential advertising opportunity there if she unloaded into the flat screen and it continued
still
to show
worked.
A picture.
Look, we're still watching Primus. Yeah. Take that, Mom.
Yeah, it takes a shooting and keeps on projecting.
I don't care what anybody says. This Vivo is great.
Yeah, how about that? Wow, did you get paid to say that?
Yeah.
You
we're
did?
In the Vivo studio, aren't we?
Oh.
I don't even know if it's called Vivo.
Wow.
Is there a Vivo?
There probably isn't.
No, you're probably making that one up.
Good.
Vivio?
Yeah, careful. All right, so, Aaron, the football players, they're always getting into trouble with the law.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do so with more creativity than others because they have a particular set of athletic skills. And, and tell us about this one guy on the Cardinals.
This one's, it's interesting, yeah. So, Alex Okafor is his name, and he's a linebacker, so big guy. Well, apparently he was in Austin, Texas, and he was crossing a crosswalk, and he starts to run, and he just bulldozed a guy down, doesn't stop to help him, just keeps on going. So pretty much a hit and run without the vehicle. And police saw him do it, and they decided that because he didn't stop, they were going to go talk to him. So they chased him, and he evaded police using his football moves, like go left, go right, to get away from them. And ended up taking three officers to get him. They had to take him down, and apparently, the guy's not going to press charges, but he is in trouble for possibly evading arrest. And he also had an outstanding warrant. And then he said that the reason he was going so quickly and running and had to get somewhere as he needed to get to the bar.
Oh,
he was thirsty.
Yes, he was thirsty. So he needed to get to the bar, and he just didn't have time to stop.
He is as big as a car, so it is kind of like a hit and run.
Oh, yeah. He could have probably hurt the man that he took down.
Is he a free agent, Chris?
Okafor, I don't know if he's a free agent, but I'll tell you what. There is a lot of free agent activity going on in the NFL. A couple of things. One, the NFL has done a fantastic job of staying relevant all year round. They just move things around to make sure that they're somehow always in the news and overshadowing every other sport.
Yep.
But free agency is interesting because it feels like bartering humans for massive amounts of money. You know, it's like rich people just bartering humans.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of things going on. We're not going to get too in-depth. You know, there's DeMarco Murray plays for the Cowboys. There's a good chance he's going to sign with the Eagles, who the Eagles coach oddly ditched all their very talented players. So there's all these different transactions that are happening for large sums of money. We'll give you a couple of them. Darrelle Revis has left the Super Bowl-winning Patriots for a massive contract over in New York for the Jets, which is his hometown. Hmm. So he's coming home, or at least the place that he started. And Ndamukong Suh, who's the guy that just pushes people over and then steps on their ankles and really gets dirty.
Right.
Was for the Lions. He has a record-breaking contract to go over to the Dolphins.
Wow.
Who have to get rid of five other players to make room for him.
Are we talking publicly about the kind of cash these guys are getting?
Oh, yeah. These contracts are no joke. I mean, on average, a guy like Ndamukong Suh is making somewhere around $20 million a year. It's just short of $20 million a year, and it's something like $60 million guaranteed.
To play, what, 11, 12 games?
16. Mm-hmm. 16 games a season. You make it to the postseason, there's another potential four right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Massive money.
So more or less 4 months of work.
That's
rough. For $20 million.
Rough. I think DeMarco Murray's going to make $40 million for 4 years, maybe $42 million for 4 years.
Wow.
So that's $10
million
each year.
No, $10 million a year. I see. All right. Yeah.
And so much of it is guaranteed. It's like guaranteed like $20 million in the first year because they know you're only good for the first year, and then after the first year or two, and then after that,
but these are the athletes who are at the pinnacle of human performance, and they can't do that by playing football for 4 or 5 months and then just sitting on a couch and drinking beer and eating chips. They continue to work out for the entire year.
Yeah, that's a full-time gig right
there. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they get a couple of months where they can go out and play golf.
But if they let themselves go, they won't be competitive and they won't play and they won't garner the kind of money that these guys are getting.
That's exactly right, yeah. And then you look at, like, the Seahawks made some interesting trades. Good chance they could end up back at the Super Bowl. So all kinds of interesting stuff happened in free agency. But it just goes to show that there's no loyalty in the NFL, for sure. There is no more, like, home-built sort of steel curtain, you know, of the Steelers back in the day and all the players hang together. They're just all these pieces that just end up getting traded around all over the place.
Yeah, I forgot who it was, but it might have been some players. It might have been some kind of civil rights advocate who was making the case that NFL owners are more or less slave traders.
Oh, well, then,
yeah, and maybe that we could say maybe we could find a different terminology, but yeah, it's like trading widgets or something. You know, it's replaceable pieces, and you're like, oh, I want that Pokemon card. There's a good example. I want that Pokemon card. I'll trade you my Pokemon card for your Pokemon card and $10. I'll give you $10 with it too.
Well, see, there's the spectrum of comparisons. There we go from slave traders to Pokemon traders.
Pokemon.
Right. Trying to soften it.
Yeah, of course.
Good choice.
All right, last hour we talked about the survey that Esquire and Cosmopolitan did of a bunch of people, and one of the items that came up, the question was, are you a feminist? Only 51% of women and 29% of men said yes. All right, so now let's get to this. There's another study that proves one thing. No matter how you interact with women, whether you're a misogynist pig or a chivalrous gentleman, you, sir, are completely and totally sexist. This is researchers out of Northwestern University in Boston. They found that guys who do nice things for women are actually just as sexist as guys who treat them terribly. Only the nice guys might be even worse, according to them, because they don't realize it.
Hmm.
It's called benevolent sexism. Again, this is Northeastern. Did I say Western? Northeastern University in Boston. Benevolent sexism, and it happens when you open a car door for a woman, refuse to let her pay on a date, offer her your jacket when she's cold, or tell her you want to provide for her, or tell her she deserves to be put on a pedestal. Chris, Right. Are you a benevolent sexist?
No.
Why is that? You don't do any of those things for women?
He's like, let her open
the
door.
Oh, wait. That means I don't do those things?
That means if you do those things, you're a benevolent sexist.
No.
But if you don't do them, then you're not.
I don't do it to the extreme, and I don't encourage any person to take your love towards someone and over-express it, because it just comes across as weird. But men should be chivalrous, for sure. You should open your girlfriend's car door. You should offer her coat when she's cold. You should walk street side when you're going
down
the street, so you get hit by the car before
her. Some of those are just common courtesy things, too, I think. Not necessarily meaning, you know, if somebody's cold, you offer them a coat.
Feminists have ruined a lot of that for women.
The researchers, though, they say the combo of benevolent sexism and the more blatant and hostile sexism are what keep gender inequality alive in society. Research. Science.
Interesting. Sometimes I think they're just bored.
Yeah, I think so.
They're just making it up?
Yes. Too much time on their hands.
All right. Admit it. Whether you're a sexist or not, you think Cinderella is hot. But can Cinderella beat Liam Neeson in a fight? We'll answer that question when Manny the Movie Guy joins us live next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex this weekend. Joining us live is the man who puts the spring in Palm Springs, KMIR-TV movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
How are you guys?
Oh, so much better now that you're here, sir.
Oh, that's great. I'm springing all over the place.
Yes. You're always interviewing the stars and starlets of the Hollywood movies. And did you have a chance to sit down with the star of Cinderella?
No, but I do have a satellite interview with them next week.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't able to do the one-on-one with them, but
I was hoping that you'd have a chance to do a little shoe fitting for Lily James.
Is that
her name?
That.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, the new Cinderella movie, does this have a modern setting, or does it take you back to the fairy tale days?
It's still the old fairy tale land. The only thing that's different with this film, really, without, you know, revealing too much, is that there's a lot more motivation behind this. Like, now we know more about the prince, played by Richard Madden of Game of Thrones, of course.
Ooh.
And Lily James. And they have great chemistry together, Lily James and Richard. I mean, that's the most important thing in any romance, whether fairy tales or comedy. I mean, you know, they need the two main leads must have great chemistry, and they do.
And not that there's anything wrong with it, but does Lily drop the English accent, or does she stick with it?
She sticks with it, and, you know, of course, she's from Downton Abbey.
Oh.
But really, the two main leads are fantastic, but the film is buoyed by the two gifted supporting actresses, namely, of course, Helena Bonham Carter as the helpful fairy godmother and Cate Blanchett as the evil Lady Tremaine, that's stepmother to you.
Yeah.
But what I love most about this film, too, is that the clever script by Chris White. You know, Chris White's from About a Boy gives motivation to the characters, and Kenneth Branagh's direction is just fantastic. It's beautiful to look at. It's all fun and colors and vibrant, and it also has a very great moral story for the little ones.
Oh, and what is that?
And that would be simply have courage and be kind.
Oh,
I like that.
What I do all the time.
Yes, right. And do your chores.
And do your chores and go to school, yes.
Yeah, all right, good. Now, Liam Neeson is back, and he sure has become typecast, hasn't he?
You're right, exactly. You know, can you blame him, though? I mean, you know, this is paying his mortgage and more.
Yeah, Run All Night is the name of this movie, and he's a guy who exacts his revenge.
Right, but if you think Run All Night is pretty much taken for, think again. The movie is grittier and showcases Liam Neeson's particular set of acting skills.
Ooh.
Sure, like Taken, this is fast-paced action scenes that we expect from a Neeson action movie, but Run All Night plays more like a gripping crime thriller. The script is from a co-writer of Out of the Furnace. If you guys had seen that 2 years ago, the gritty crime thriller Out of the Furnace, it's kind of similar to this, and that one stars Christian Bale. The actor in Run All Night, the actor finally meets his match with the wonderful Ed Harris, a mob boss who's out for vengeance. Why? Because he thinks Neeson's character killed his son.
I love Ed Harris. He plays such a great bad guy, doesn't he?
That's right. No, he's fantastic. And, you know, this is a revenge movie told from the point of view of the antagonist. Now Neeson and his son, played by Joel Kinnaman, have 16 hours to run all night.
Oh.
That's the whole premise. And Neeson returned to the loving arms of Jaume Coyet Serra, his director from Nonstop and Unknown. Have you guys seen any of those films? If you've seen them, you would know that this director is almost like the Alfred Hitchcock of the B-movie world.
Thanks for not waiting for us to answer that question, because I have not seen either of those.
I
you haven't seen Nonstop and Unknown. You guys should.
Well, Aaron has seen them both.
I've seen them, yes.
It's one of the, you know, better Neeson action films where he's trying to be Charles Bronson and all. You know?
Oh, well, okay. Hey, you know what? Along these lines, next week, Sean Penn is back with a thriller, and he's got a gun in his hand, as far as I can tell, from what I've read about this and seen.
Speaking of Taken, this one is directed by the first Taken director, the original, Pierre Morel. And I was actually, this morning, was giving away, we're having an exclusive screening here in the Valley in Palm Springs for it. And
what's the movie called?
The Gunman.
Oh.
I've not heard of this one.
And Sean Penn looks like a scary guy that if you look at him funny, he'll shoot you dead. Is that the premise of this story?
No, this is more like Taken. It's like an inter-European, international tour from London to Barcelona and everything in between just so he can save his name.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? When I used to think about Sean Penn, I used to immediately think of Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. But now, you know who I think of when I think of Sean Penn?
Who?
I think of that photographer character in the Walter Mitty movie.
Wow, and not Milk.
No.
I think of Milk.
No, Milk was a very good story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of his character just sitting up there just quietly behind a rock and between some bushes trying to get the shot of the eagle as it feeds its chicks in its nest.
Yeah.
I think of that character.
Wow. You like the subdued Sean Penn.
Yes, exactly. You know, when he gets out of hand, I lose it.
Right.
All right. Good. Well, don't lose it, Manny. We love talking with you, and we hope to hear from you again next week, and good luck with your contest.
Next week, we have a big, big movie coming out. It's Insurgent from the Divergent series, of course. I talk to all of them. I talk to the cast.
Oh.
They're fun.
Good. Can't wait to hear about that. And please, everybody, go to MannyTheMovieGuy.com. You will love it when you go there, and we'll love it to talk with you again next week, Manny.
And thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. All right, up next on the program, it's unbelievable that we're already at a baseball season, and things have gotten out of hand at spring training thanks to a guy in movies that you probably know. And also, when the surf is breaking, if you know what I'm talking about, if you're a surfer and they've got the signs out that they say there are all kinds of hazards, there's pollution, there's a sewage spill, whatever it is, and the waves are breaking, you still go out there. It doesn't matter what kind of hazard there is out there. Well, perhaps some of the most perfect waves are breaking in a particular place. And surfers want to get out there, but they've figured out a creative way to make sure the water's safe first before they paddle out. And you'll hear about that devious concept next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. How's the family? Coming to the barbecue this weekend? All right, now that that's out of the way, why don't we talk a little spring training? And, Chris, it's getting nuts out there, isn't it?
Right. All the spring training's being held over in Arizona because they have all that beautiful palatial area with baseball fields spread across the land. And it's getting crazy because Will Ferrell's going to be there, and he's a popular figure.
Is he going to be there, or is he there now?
He's actually there right now, but he's going to be front and center in front of a lot of these teams that are playing ball out there. He's going to play in 5 different Major League Baseball games, and he will play all 9 positions while he's being filmed for an HBO special that is raising awareness for cancer.
Why is he doing that?
He's doing it because he's an entertainer.
Well,
he's
tell you what, Chris, why don't we do this? Why don't we go live to Arizona right now where Ms. California, United States, Sandy Charles is there with Major League Baseball. And
hi, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy. Have you seen Will Ferrell popping around from one stadium to the other?
Yeah, I was with him all morning at the Oakland Athletics training facility. He started there, and the guy's hilarious. He was stretching out with them, and they had a yoga instructor out there today. So he was out there doing yoga with all the guys, and he was all suited up. He was at batting practice. Yeah, it was great.
Well, and so he spends how much time at one field before he hops in a copter to go to another?
He played the first inning with the A's, and then the second inning he suited up and played with the Mariners. So it was about an hour, and then he was in the helicopter off to the Angels, and I think it's White Sox. So everyone's kind of, I'm on my way actually now to Peoria Sports Complex, where he's going to kind of finish up.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think he finishes up with the Dodgers-Padres game.
Yep, that's what
That'll be the last one. That's a home stretch.
And so he's going to play all 9 positions, is that right?
Yep, that's what his plan is so far. He's been great.
So I imagine the pitching is going to be the hardest for him. He's probably going to get shelled.
He's pitched before. Check this out. In 2010, he played a minor league game, and he came in as pitcher Rojo Johnson, where he drank a beer on mound, then threw a wild pitch, and then the security came and ejected him.
That's great. And so what's it like out there? Is it a madhouse?
Oh, it's a complete madhouse. He has all the press around him, it's crazy. They just flock. And at all times, I swear, you can't even see him because all you see are cameras and boom sticks and mics. Oh, it's incredible. And when he was on the field playing shortstop with the A's, he is the best heckler. And he is so loud. Oh, my gosh. He is he's hilarious.
So did you have a private conversation with him at any point?
No, I did not. We put him on We took him to – he did an interview with us for the network, and instantly, even when he sits down, I don't think he means to be funny, but he just – everything he says, he thanked our audio guy, and he's like, great job, audio guy. And he sat and talked with them for a long time. And
yeah, and you just want to laugh at it.
Yeah.
Whatever he says.
Yes. Everything,
well,
yeah.
Well, Sandy Charles, you're living the life right now as working with MLB Network, and we thank you for popping in from Arizona, and you're going to be there for another couple of weeks, I imagine, right?
I am, yeah, all month.
Okay, well, might as well get an Arizona driver's license while you're there. They're cheaper than California's, from what I understand.
Yeah, they last a lot longer, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Sandy, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there she goes. She's Ms. California, United States, and works with the MLB Network and has been on this program before, and there you go.
Sounds fun.
She's having fun out there.
Will Ferrell on the move lately. Yesterday, he was judging a charity tennis match with Kevin Hart versus Justin Bieber.
Oh,
man. Who do you think won that?
I think Kevin Hart.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have the results.
Oh.
But
yeah, I would go with Kevin Hart, too.
Yeah, me too. All right. So I've spent a great deal of my younger days out in the water, surfing. There's nothing like surfing. It just it frees your mind. You don't worry about a thing when you're out there, except what may be under the water, beneath your toes, that you can't see, Aaron.
Yeah, apparently one of the top surf spots, Reunion Island, which is off of Madagascar, they've had 14 fatal shark attacks since 2011, so they've closed down the swimming and surfing areas. They're not letting people out there, except for a few that they're calling them pretty much human guinea pigs.
What?
Yes, they're going to let locals surf in certain areas while they try to use risk testing type situation where they're going to put up like barriers and shark nets and hooks, and they're going to have shark spotters and people patrolling to see if this makes a difference on people getting attacked. But, you know, they have those people out there that are going to be surfing and hoping that these things work.
They're like food testers for
the
king.
Pretty much, yes. They're human guinea pigs for shark testing.
But they're
testing.
Doing this just so the surfers can go out there.
They're doing it because that's their business, is getting people to come for surfing, for travel, and because of the shark attacks, it's going to hurt them.
And I imagine a good deal of the population there at Reunion Island, in Madagascar for that matter, are out of work, or they can't get a lot of work. And so they said, hey, for $50 American, would you go out there and swim around and see if you get eaten by a shark? And what are their options? What do you think?
They don't have many.
Yeah.
Well, it's either that or climb a tree and eat some bananas.
Yeah.
They're saying they think it's going to work, though. They've actually scheduled a surf contest for 2017.
How about that?
So they think these shark barriers will work.
And it'll show up in the surfer magazines.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's fly out there. Let's get a bunch of people to fly out there in the jetliner of the future, Chris.
Yes. This is the AWWAQG. A lot of letters there. Progress Eagle. It's a concept plane. And you got to hear what they're doing with this plane. It's a triple-decker. It has capacity for more than 800 passengers.
Wow.
It has five superconductor engines that are 75% quieter than the engines that we see on normal 737s.
Mm-hmm.
It has zero carbon emissions. It has solar panels on the wings and wind turbines that generate electricity. So once this plane gets up to altitude, the engine shuts off and it is almost completely self-sufficient.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's so big. It seems like it would just fall out of the sky.
Have they tested it already? Or
It's still in the beta testing stage for sure. It's still in research and development.
Has it left the sketch board yet, the drawing board?
No. I mean, there are some modelings, you know, and there's some other sort of schematics that they've run on what is possible. But they're saying it's going to be possibly 2030. Before this,
well, what's it look like?
Innovative plane.
Well,
see, like a bus in the air. It looks like something out of Star Trek.
We waited. It seemed like we had to wait well into the future to see the Dreamliner, and then all of a sudden, here it is. And we've had Dreamliners for a while, so time passes in a hurry. But do we have a picture of that we can look at?
We do.
Oh, let me see. Oh, there it is. It's on the. There's a little artist rendering of it on a runway on the tarmac. That's an odd-looking plane.
Do they use human guinea pigs for that, too, the first time they test the flight?
Mm. Plenty of people in Madagascar who love to get a ride on this this thing when it gets up there in the air. How about that?
Yeah, check it out. It's the future, I believe. And I think it will probably come sooner than 2030 before we see those things change.
I'll bet. How about that? All right, so it's prom season, is it not, Aaron?
It's getting closer. This is the time where you start thinking about your date, your dress, that kind of stuff.
And the ante's kind of high, or the bar's been raised kind of high for if you want to impress your potential prom date when you ask her to the dance,
yes,
right?
Yes, apparently, at least in Georgia, there are three guys being charged as adults for allegedly stealing a goat on Saturday night. I guess one of the guys wanted to ask a girl to prom, and he wanted the goat so he could say the line, "Would you goat with me to prom?" But instead, he went to jail. But instead, he went to jail and is facing charges. And we don't know if she's going to go to prom with him or not.
That's a fail.
Is she a cow?
That's an old frat boy thing anyway, isn't it? Don't you steal goats and like stick them in the other fraternity's houses?
Yeah, yes. But you never hear about fraternity boys going to jail for stealing somebody's goat.
He should go to jail for that terrible joke he tried to give to whoever he was asking to prom.
Right. Well,
she probably would have said no if that was the way he was going to. Maybe he was saved from embarrassment for that.
I think the youth of America should just stop. Let's beg them to stop the elaborate viral prom proposals. Just stop altogether, right? They're over, and pretty soon something tragic is going to happen.
Uh-oh.
Don't you think? It could happen. The current era where things never have been worse between cops and black teenagers, you know what I'm talking about? This particularly seems like just the worst idea. A girl named Stephanie out of Palmdale, California, incidentally,
not
too far from here, wanted to do an elaborate prom proposal for her boyfriend, Davion is his name. And this was yesterday. So she talked a cop into pretending to arrest Davion at school. And this is right in the middle of everything that's happening in that town in Maryland, right? What's the
Ferguson.
Name? Ferguson, exactly. Not a good thing. A couple of cops just got shot.
I'm with her so far. So far, this seems like an okay ruse. Does it go
so
south?
Mean.
Well, the cop escorted him out of school in handcuffs. And when he got outside, Stephanie was waiting there with a sign asking him to go to the prom. Stephanie, Davion, and the cop are all smiling together in a photo at the end. So maybe this
Turned out okay.
Maybe this is us being stodgy and you know, oversensitive, but this just seems like the wrong time in history to have a cop arrest an innocent black teenager in a prank. Is that going too far?
I don't know. I think going too far might be thinking that there's something wrong with that. Maybe that's the part that's going too far.
See, I wanted to sound sensitive and inclusive and. Right after making the cow comment, I thought I needed to...
You're right.
Save face
switch
after
it up,
that.
Find something.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I know it. All right. Going back to the cow thing, Facebook had an emoji for a long time, Chris, that I had no idea they had it, but I'll never get to use it now. Is that right?
You won't. Nobody will. If you've never used the feeling fat emoji, you will never get the opportunity. Aaron, have you ever used the feeling fat emoji?
I don't even use emojis. I've decided that I don't like them.
I only use the winky face, and that's just sort of to try to ease a joke that I think might not come across correctly.
Winky face.
Yeah, you just use the thing where the smiley face winks, so they know that you're not serious about whatever it is you were saying. But Facebook has removed the feeling fat emoji. It's like this extra round smiley face with full rosy cheeks and a double chin, so I guess it is a little bit controversial. But it is smiling. And I guess change.org put a petition together. They collected almost 20,000 signatures. And a spokeswoman for the campaign said, "I am so happy that we've eliminated one form of fat shaming and body hatred on the internet."
Wow.
Facebook has yet to issue a statement. They just dropped the emoji without saying anything.
How
once
about
enough,
that?
Petition.
All right. That's a good feel-good story. Here's one more for you. Two friends in Michigan recently got life-saving transplants on the same day. In the same hospital, from the same organ donor.
Wow.
Wait a second.
One of them needed a new heart, the other needed a lung transplant, and both surgeries were a success.
Okay. So this was a deceased organ donor.
Yeah, this was a donor that got one of those little stickers on his driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it driver license?
It's one of those.
Yeah, it's one of those two. The two guys, they're 60, the other 67. How about that?
Wow.
And they're both going to be fine.
Because I know that you only need like one kidney.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could give away one of those, and then what else could you afford to give away?
Not your heart.
No.
Pancreas. Yeah. You don't need that, right?
Hey, we love your comments at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com or on Twitter at FAFShow. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, production assistant, Nick Wright. For Aaron Myers, Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.